response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. As you know, on the final Friday of each and every month, we bestow the Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor on a deserving Central Virginia law enforcement officer. We have had some amazing officers throughout the years. We've had police officers and deputy sheriffs, state police officers, state troopers, a wide variety of special agents at the federal level. And I am so thrilled that our honoree for the month of June is Detective Chelsea Tovar from the Richmond Police Department. Detective Tovar, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's an interesting situation to get a chance to chat with you. We share some commonalities. There's a little Massachusetts connection, although you were in that other part. Apparently, there's stuff west of Worcester. I didn't know that.
West of Worcester.
Worcester. Still a Patriots fan, though?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank goodness. All right, because if somehow you wound up with the Giants or something, we were going to have to find somebody new for June. It's just the way that would go. But good to have you here. You have 17 years in with the Richmond Police Department. Is that right?
I do. Yep.
Tell me a little bit about it. What was the motivation to go from a bucolic Western Mass, Berkshire Mountains, to the city of Richmond as a police officer?
So I came to Virginia for college and never anticipated staying. I was in Northern Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and the plan was always to go back home.
Okay.
But I enjoyed the state. I applied to a couple of police departments right out of college and got hired in Richmond pretty much sight unseen.
Wow.
I'd never even been south to Richmond at the time that I applied. So here I am.
Well, there you are. What's the college major in? Does it translate into law enforcement?
Yeah, it does. My four-year degree was the administration of justice.
Okay.
And then once I got into the field, I became just very interested in the behavior and the background and the psychology of the criminal, criminal behavior. So my master's degree is in criminology.
Wow.
Back up north from BU.
Okay. All right. Now, again, I'm just going to warn you, my wife is a BC alum, so there's just a little bit of a skirmish there. But so you are all in on this. What about the family connection? Because this is, it seems like, it's almost like a family business with the Tovar group.
It is, yeah. My dad was a police officer for many years, retired from the job, and I wound up marrying a police officer as well, so... He was a police officer in Richmond and retired from there and is now a deputy in Powhatan.
Excellent. Excellent. Talk about some of your assignments. And I want to remind everybody, Detective Chelsea Tovar is joining us. Your assignment right now, major crimes, right?
Yes. Okay. I am assigned to major crimes.
Major crimes, Detective Chelsea Tovar from the Richmond Police Department. But that's not where anybody starts.
No.
You got to spend some time on the street. Where were you? What were you doing?
So I was assigned to the very best precinct, 4th Precinct. It was the busiest and the biggest 17 years ago. I'm not sure calls for service-wise if it still is the biggest now or the busiest. But so I was assigned to downtown, 413, and I loved it. We had a mix of everything from, there was a little bit of violent crime, but there was also just a lot of interaction with the public. And there was accidents and DUIs, and depending on the time of day, dictated, the calls that you were responding to. So I did that for a couple of years, and then I became the environmental officer for 4th Precinct, so dealing with a lot of the CAPS complaints and worked with code enforcement and public utilities to kind of think outside the box and, addressing crime, but in a different way, adding lights, cutting the grass, kind of some of the.
So sort of the broken windows theory, right?
Right.
Okay. So, right. So that was a benefit to the 4th Precinct then, I would imagine.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, they still have environmental officers. I think it's kind of the calls and the problems that don't fit into the typical call for service for the police.
Sure.
You know, it's what the environmental officers get tasked with a lot of the time.
Right. So how do you wind up, and when do you wind up as a detective?
I had my first child.
Okay.
And wound up assigned to internal affairs.
Oh.
So I was in that position for just about 10 years.
Wow.
As he was a youngster, and then I had my second child. And then right around COVID and the riots and all of that, the police chief kind of disbanded all the detectives in that unit. We all got booted, and I wound up in major crimes after that.
Well, it's not a bad booting to wind up in major crimes, though, is it?
It was a fantastic booting.
You know, this award is named in memory of Jan McTernan. And Jan retired as a lieutenant from the Richmond Police Department. She was a major crimes detective, A-Squad, I believe you guys used to refer to
them
as, right? Homicide detective. She was an absolutely amazing woman, and she was brilliant. I don't mean just like, oh, yeah, she's smart. She was brilliant. Spoke multiple languages nobody knew. And she had piled up all sorts of education just because she wanted it, not telling anybody about it. And Jan, if she was lucky, maybe 5 feet tall. She was not a big woman.
Tiny, yeah.
Yeah. But Jan went and did things. She was a Marine and a Richmond police officer at a time, in all candor, there just weren't a lot of women that were serving in the Marines. There weren't a lot of women that were serving in the Richmond Police Department. She talked about having to drink milkshakes to make the minimum weight and stand on her tippy toes and hope that nobody was looking in an effort to make the minimum height. But by God, she was determined to do it. And my sense, as I've spoken with people inside of RPD, especially throughout the years, she was a real trailblazer. And I'm just curious, as you are in this major crimes unit, you are truly with the best detectives.
I am.
Right?
Yeah.
You're more than holding your own.
Thank you for that. No, it's very much a team environment. Mm-hmm. And I'm assigned to D team. We are the best team in major crimes. And, you know, the success of all of our cases comes from the team input. And everybody's got their, you know, their own expertises and what they're, you know, what they're good at. And we, our team especially, works very well, you know, bouncing ideas off each other, jumping in, picking up. We've got a great forensics team as well that coincides with us. And yeah.
Explain to everybody about what detective work is really like. And I would ask you to use one particular case that that your captain sent to me. Most people watch television, right? You've got it. Maybe it's a 60-minute show. You put in commercials and the rest of it. 36 minutes from the time the crime is committed till the time that person is headed off to jail. That's it. Can't be that hard. I mean, it happens happens multiple times a week on television. Your actual job is a little bit different. And the one case I'm referring to is a case that, well, initiated at about 4 o'clock in the morning back in June of 2023 when a homicide was committed, but you've just now arrested the suspect, if I understand it correctly. So can you take us through it a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, every case is different.
Yep.
Some of them are cleared within a couple of hours. Some of them are cleared, you know, on scene.
Right.
The suspect is taken into custody, but some of them take a little bit longer. And I truly believe that there is no case that can't be solved. It's just a matter of how long do we have, and how much are you willing to put into it? So this case in particular was a body in a car in a industrial area of Richmond. We didn't know really much of anything, how he got there, when he got there, until we started digging a little bit deeper. technology is absolutely incredible. It's changing every day and assists with these cases so much. But, you know, it's the little things. It's the little details, the, you know, just checking off every possible thing, every task. I had a chief, I don't know, 3 or 4 chiefs ago that said, like, you know, you leave no stone unturned. Handle every case as though it's a homicide. That's when I was in internal affairs. And you have to leave no stone unturned in these types of cases. And that's exactly what happened in this one. I didn't have any suspects. Contrary to what had been released, I had no tips. I had no help from any citizens.
Wow.
There was nobody calling. There was nobody beating down the doors, trying to give us information about this case. But, you know, it was one of the only ones where I didn't know what happened. So being stubborn, I wasn't...
Stubborn, dedicated, I mean, the tomato,
right,
tomato.
Curious,
yeah.
Right. You know, I wasn't okay with that. So
right.
I just wanted to do a review of everything one last time. And, you know, it was some of the technology of the digital stuff and cell phone data that really kind of pushed this over the edge.
Okay.
And speaking to the teamwork aspect of things, the person that was arrested had a prior shooting that he had been involved in. And the detective that handled that case did such a thorough investigation on that. Another woman, another female detective, that I was able to use some of the information that she had obtained during that case to bolster mine. So had she not done what she did, I wouldn't have been able to make that arrest probably.
Wow. I love that. Now, my understanding is obviously the case is ongoing and court is coming up soon, so we don't want to get into too many of the details, but ultimately a homicide charge.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me tell you what your captain said about that. Detective Tovar worked tirelessly to track down evidence, follow up on leads and tips from the community, but apparently there were no tips.
There were none. No.
Make sure the captain knows that. but as a result, a suspect has been charged for the homicide, and that is Captain Jason Hudson of the Major Crimes Unit. I guess for those who are listening, who again don't have a background in law enforcement, they go, well, okay, but she just has the one case, so it took 2 years. What's the big deal? You only had one case at a time, right?
No, I wish. And, you know, certainly ebbs and flows. Crime is coming and going, but it's a rotation, and it's kind of the luck of the draw.
Okay.
When your team is working, there's 4 detectives on the fully staffed teams.
Okay.
The majority of them have 3. Ours is fortunate enough to have 4 of us.
Wow.
And then we have 2 folks from forensics that are on our team. So it's a team of 6 with a sergeant.
Okay.
And, you know, we can roll through the whole rotation in one, theoretically, in one shift.
Jeez.
On one weekend. So, no, multitasking. Lots of cases.
Detective Chelsea Tovar is joining us. She is our June recipient of the Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor. We talk about some of the forward-facing things. You're out there, you're seeing people, dealing with people. Quite frankly, it's the worst day of their life in most cases.
Right.
But you also have the opportunity, according to Chief Rick Edwards, to make a real difference in a positive way. And you may or may not recall this, but Chief Edwards sent me some messages about feedback that he got on you. You had offered care and consolation. It was a basic welfare check, but it had revealed that somebody had passed away in that family. And that's always, look, a death notification is just, nobody wants to do them. You know, what are you going to do? You've got to deliver the news. It's somebody who, most cases, you know, it's not a family member, it's not a friend, so it's your day at the office, but you don't want to do it, and it's difficult to do. But for somebody to reach out to the chief of police and say, you should know about this detective, because she was so empathetic, informative, responsive. She handled questions during, quote, the unfortunate, uncomfortable time. Well, that person who reached out actually had had a member of the Richmond Police Department years ago, and they said that person would be very proud of Detective Tovar.
Well, you know, it's interesting because going back to the school piece, I remember taking a upper-level psychology class, and it was, I'll never forget, my college advisor said, "Ugh, why would you want to take a class like that?" And it was titled Death, Dying, and Grieving. And it was an old professor. He'd been in the Navy, and he lost his wife and children in a car accident. So he was like the ultimate expert in death, dying, and grieving, right? And so one of the papers that I wrote, it could be on any part of that process, was on death notifications given by the police. Wow. And how the studies, you know, a million years ago when I was in college, talked about that is one of the most remembered pieces of, you know, this traumatic incident for the family, where they were, what they were wearing, you know, what the weather was, what the officer said, what the detective said. And, you know, back then that was one of the things that, you know, you didn't get training on that, you know, it's knock on the door and tell them that their loved one is dead. So I've always kind of kept that in the back of my mind that, you know, this is their worst day.
That's right.
It's not, you know, it might just be another, any other day for me, but
yeah,
I owe them the kindness and the empathy that I would expect.
It's telling, Chelsea, that that's important to you. And you know, the longer folks are on the job, you develop certain defense mechanisms, right? We who had, and I don't have anything even approaching your distinguished career, but anybody who's ever pinned on a badge, you get a very twisted sense of humor, right?
Right.
There's a lot of twisted jokes because you got to get through the day. Right. And again, you are dealing with people where it has either been their worst day or you are about to make it their worst day. And again, you've got to pick up the pieces. You want to go home. You want to see your family. You want to make sure your kids are safe and deal with every other part of life. So having that capacity, in my opinion, instead of just saying, look, I Xeroxed Kubler-Ross here. This is how you do it. Go to number one and good luck to you. Mm-hmm. He said, let me share some time. Let me spend some time. Let me be a human being first,
right,
as opposed to being a detective from the police department. Mm-hmm. That just speaks volumes, ma'am. I got to tell you something. You should be very proud of yourself.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, it's great stuff. I'm just blown away that you're here. And I want everybody to know, we always pre-record these things because people get called into court or something happens. You, as we are recording this, are coming from a pretty active overnight. But you are still here.
I'm still here.
You are still here with a smile and enthusiasm and a laugh. And I'm honored that you're here. I thank you for doing it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you are. In my opinion, you remind me a lot of Jan, and I don't say that all that often. You're doing exactly what you need to do.
Big shoes to fill.
Well, it's true, but you're doing it. This community is much better off for having you on the job. I'm going to tell you that. 17 years in, though, are you even pondering what happens? What is it, 20 years?
25.
Oh, well, then forget about it. Yeah. Don't even start thinking about that.
A lot can change.
Yeah. You're good. You want to stay as a detective?
Until I retire?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going anywhere. It's addictive. It's absolutely addictive. Yeah. It's grueling. I miss out on so much with my kids and my family. But, you know, it's my second family at work and my team.
And
it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it. You know, being able to tell the families that, you know, we caught the bad guy. Like, we figured this out is, you know, worth every bit of it.
I love it. Well, let me tell you that we give everybody a couple of little gifts. It's not going to get you any closer to retirement. It's not something you're going to be able to invest and think, well, now we can buy the boat. But There are one or two things that that we share, and let me just tell you what they are. Steve Neal is a retired captain out of Chesterfield County, and he wrote a book entitled Toxic Boss Blues. Captain Hudson does not need to be fearful. It does not actually call into account anybody who's doing a bad job. But it is really interesting, given especially your background in trying to figure out the behavior of people, obviously with a focus on criminals. But we have a special set of people that work inside that law enforcement community as the good guys as well. And this is a great analysis from somebody who was at the highest levels, saw some stuff he liked, saw some stuff he didn't like, and he writes all about it. So that's a little light reading when you're not catching those homicide suspects. We have, you're in RPD. I don't have to explain to you For the Love of Chocolate in Carytown, I hope.
No.
Okay, well, this will hopefully help your next visit to For the Love of Chocolate a little bit sweeter. The owners there are big supporters of the Richmond Police Department in particular. And so there's a gift card for you there. I have a friend by the name of Tony Brewster, who is down in Chesterfield County. A couple of years back, Tony organized a golf tournament, because I am pretty sure that is all that Tony does. I don't know if there's a day job in Tony's life at this point, but he organized a golf tournament. He raises money, and we use that money to buy some gift certificates that we give to our Blue Friday honoree. So that is in there. My friend Laura Sylvester is a wonderful baker. And she just discovered her own love for baking, I guess, as a young girl. And a couple of years back said, you know what? This is what I want to do. And so she started her own company. It's called the Pie Safe Baking Company. Mm. And so you have a gift certificate for her. She will bake you what you want. Not that I'm biased. However, the Julia Katz cake, named for my daughter, is, I think, the best item on the menu. If you like strawberries and real whipped cream, not like that store-bought, real whipped cream. So,
well, this is funny because every time we clear a case and make an arrest, our team celebrates by getting a dessert. So, now I know.
Now you know. Excellent. Jamie Walter, Mike Walter's wife.
Right. Yeah.
Jamie and her kids put together it's a beautiful note that they put together for each of the recipients. There's some gifts in there as well, some gift cards, a special challenge coin, and so you get that. Jan's son Mike, who owns and operates Prince George Towing down on the south side of town, commissioned special Jeff Katz show challenge coins, which only recipients of this honor get. So you get one of those. Obviously, you know Jan's other son, Richard, over at the Academy. And then the final little gift is one that's very, very meaningful to me. And it is a thin blue line bracelet. And this is made by a young lady by the name of Emily Morrissey. Emily is celebrating her 27th birthday. Emily has a number of disabilities and challenges. And in school, they learned that she had a real love for working with beads. And so her folks, Dan and Kristen, her brother PJ, set up a business, emilysbracelets.com.
Aww.
And Emily makes these bracelets. She makes them for everything, anything and everything. Thin blue line is one of the top sellers. A portion of those proceeds, by the way, a portion goes to the Special Olympics. But on the thin blue line bracelet, the money is directed towards the Line of Duty Death Fund for the Metro Richmond Police Emerald Society.
Wonderful.
And Emily is an amazing young lady. Every day, Emily, her mom takes a picture of Emily working, and I send a picture back of me wearing whichever beads I'm wearing. Here's the promise I said to Emily. I made to Emily. I said, listen, I guarantee you I will wear your bracelets. I can't guarantee you every day, but every day that ends in Y, I got a bracelet on. So
that's awesome.
There's something nice for there.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I am thrilled that you're here. You are more than a deserving recipient, an especially deserving recipient of the Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor, because it seems to me that Jan's legacy is living on with some really solid police officers, especially some really, really talented female police officers, and that's just great to see.
Girl power.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations, Detective Chelsea Tovar, Major Crimes Unit for the Richmond Police Department. She is our June 2025 recipient of the Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday Honor. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.